Canada, and this treasure chest will be the property of whomever can find it. We're starting this already. All right, we're not going with this. Next slide. Forrest Fenn is an 86-year-old retired Air Force fighter pilot who served in the Vietnam War. He hid a chest of gold and other artifacts 8 years ago in the Rocky Mountains. He served in the Air Force, and then he went on to be a very, very successful art dealer, and this is where he got all this chest of gold. And according to an article I read this week on Business Insider from back in February, he wrote two books, and in these books, one of them specifically contains clues that when you cross-reference all the clues and a good set of maps from the Rocky Mountains, if you study enough, if you intersect the parallels enough, it should pinpoint you to the exact location of this treasure chest. This treasure is a free gift to whoever can solve this mystery somewhere 8.5 miles north of Santa Fe to the Canadian border and above 5,000 feet. So it's a very small stretch of land, should be no problem. The treasure is said to be worth over $2 million, but could be more because of the value of some of the artifacts that are in there is not actually known. Fenn is quoted saying, "No one will happen upon this." It's not in a place where somebody will just, you know, kick it and trip over it, but they have to figure out all the clues to solve the mystery. And he decided to do all this after he had a brush with death. He had kidney cancer, and it was supposed to be terminal. And in the wake of this, he said, "I'm seeing despair everywhere, and I want to bring something that will give people something to do, will bring people together, get families outside and doing things." Next slide. Within the book, this poem, which is in very small font, this poem says that It gives all the clues that you need. So all you'd have to do, study the poem, cross-reference the map, and the treasure's yours. It will belong to whoever can find it. So if anybody's interested, I'm headed to the Rockies tomorrow morning. So today is one of my favorite Sundays of the year. I love having this privilege to commission our graduates. Next slide, please, Carrie. On to the next phase of your life. In the coming weeks, depending on when you're graduating, you're going to hear lots of speeches. Most of them you will not listen to, so my hope is that because I'm first in line, and maybe you'll remember a few things. But I love this especially because many of you this morning who just stood up here with me, you've been around. I remember your fifth grade step-up night. I remember every middle school youth group where some of you could not make it through a single dodgeball game without cheating. I'm not going to mention any names. All of you. We've gone on trips and retreats and youth groups and events, and it's always such a joy to see you stand up here as young men and women, especially having come from really, really, really squirrely 11 and 12-year-olds that you were when I first met you. So as fun as it is to reminisce, let's keep on moving. Nowadays, not too many people bury treasure, Mr. Fenn being the exception. Well, that's what I thought until I happened upon this. Next slide, please. Apparently, you can buy an underground safe if you like to bury treasure. And so I was all set to say, nobody buries treasure. And then I'm doing image searches, and you can buy the Sierra Base buried safe. It makes a great time capsule, too. But in the ancient world, so other than Forrest and people who buy that and that creepy guy up there, other than that, most people don't bury treasure. We have banks, we have safe deposit boxes, that whole deal. But in the ancient world, it would have been very common, next slide, please, to bury valuables in the ground. Particularly in times of war and uncertainty, if you knew your city was under siege and you were about to get invaded, one of the things that always happened, or almost always happened, when one group of people would invade another group of people, they'd carry off all the wealth with them. So as a protection of your stuff, you get one of those cool underground safes that they didn't have yet back then, and bury all your stuff in the ground. This would have been very common. The scripture we're looking at this morning, Jesus talks about buried treasure. We're in the book of Matthew, and we're looking at actually just a very few verses. If you want to follow along, if you prefer a paper Bible, we're in Matthew chapter 13, which is page 691, but it's going to be up here on the screen. It says this: "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." So we have two different parables kind of in one. They're different, but essentially they're the same. And in this section of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus goes rapid fire through a whole bunch of parables. Parable is a story told to prove a point. Jesus does this very, very often. And the beginning part of Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is addressing the crowds. These are the people who are intrigued by Jesus, but not necessarily followers. Jesus he performed miracles. He was very charismatic. And so naturally, whenever that happens, crowds are drawn. So there's crowds that follow Jesus everywhere. And to the crowds, Jesus told several parables. The parable of the sower, the parable of the weeds, the parable of the mustard seed, and the parable of the yeast. And then from there, Jesus leaves, he departs from the crowds and goes with his disciples, his close followers, and goes into a house. And there he starts explaining some of the meanings of the parables. Jesus would often speak, and then the disciples would be like, "We have no idea what you just meant. Could you please explain that?" And so that's what's happening. And so Jesus is explaining the meanings of these parables, and that's where, right in the middle of all that, is where we find these two parables, where the treasure chest and the pearl. Jesus mentioned the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in the field. Next one, please. There's a man. He's out, and he comes upon treasure, somehow. There's not any background on what he was doing, how he was found, whether he was playing in the sandbox, whether he was walking his dog, tripped over the corner of it. No details are given. Scholars suspect that maybe he was a field worker, and he could have been, preparing to plant, but we don't have that information, so all we know is he was in the field, and he found it. He recognizes in this something worth more than everything he owns. He finds this treasure, whatever it's in. Sometimes it would be in clay pots. People would do that a lot. Probably not a wooden box like that, but you never know. So he sees this, and he's like, he buries it again, and he goes off and he liquidates all of his assets. Everything he has, down to his last pair of socks, it's gone, because what's in this is worth more than everything that he owns. He goes and he buys it. He sees something that's worth more than everything that he has. This, Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Then the next one, we have the pearl merchant. Next one. The pearl merchant, this guy was actually looking. So that's what he did for a living. He was a pearl dealer. He would go search the world, try and find pearls, so then he could resell them. There's a great show, I think it's great, other people disagree with me, called American Pickers. And this show, people go out all over the countryside and they look for stuff to buy. And the ultimate thing is, if you find something that, someone has in way in the back of their barn that they think isn't worth $20, and then you buy it, you grab it from them for $20, and then it's something, some priceless piece of art, and then you go out and sell it for $100,000. The idea is not, this pearl merchant isn't buying them just to buy them, just to have them. He's a merchant. So he buys and then resells. You buy high, you sell. You buy low, sell high. I buy high, sell low. That's my problem. You're supposed to buy low, sell high. But so this is the idea. The guy's looking for the pearls to buy, worth value, and then to resell them. That's his business. That's how he makes his living. So this guy does. He's out there, he's looking, and he finds, for lack of a better term, for lack of lame humor, the mother of all pearls. And don't laugh at that. It's not that funny. But so he finds this. He finds this pearl. He finds the one. And he also, everything else he has. He probably has a lot of other pearls. Perhaps he's done well for himself. Who knows? You can only suspect that. But he finds this one, and he sells everything else he has just to get it. Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. So we've got two people, two treasures. Both found one worth more than everything they own. Worth more than the whole, every piece of property, every good, everything that they have. They find the thing that's worth more than everything else. Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. This phrase, kingdom of heaven, is unique to the book of Matthew. Jesus uses it exclusively here, and it shows up 33 times. So it's important. Sometimes the word kingdom of God is used, next slide please, and many other of Jesus' parables are told as descriptions of the kingdom of God. Very often Jesus says the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is God's rule. It's Him in charge. It's His plans being carried out, and the kingdom of heaven is one of the central themes of the book of Matthew. It's God's rule. It's His way. It's what He wants being carried out on the earth. But for me, and I think because of our context, when I hear the word kingdom, it's distracting to me because I think of like knights and jousting and like medieval. Because the word kingdom isn't for me part of my everyday language. And so, for purposes of understanding and clarity, I was trying to think of how do we explain this? How do we grab a hold of this? And I came up with a word which is absolutely not a perfect word to describe it, but to me it works. And so I'm hopeful that it's helpful to you. Not a parallel, but think of the word community of God. The community, the place, the rule, the realm where God is in control. Where He's the perfect leader, where His plans are carried out, where people are cared for, needs are met, where people don't go hungry, and there's love between its members. Think of community in that sense. God's rule, God's way, not, you know, a knight in horseback and all that stuff. When you think about that, to be a part of something like that, to be a part of that kingdom or community, if you like that word, Jesus says, this is worth selling everything you have to get your hands on it. The kingdom of heaven is a true treasure. This treasure, these two parables are not the first time that Jesus brings up this word or this concept, this treasure. The Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus warns, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up treasures in heaven. He says this not because having things are bad, not at all. He just warns that don't make created things your true hope, because someday everything you get is going to end up in the garbage heap. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks a lot about this. We're going to look at one verse, Matthew 6:33. Seek first His kingdom. Here we have. This is after He's talking extensively about don't store up treasures in heaven. Don't worry about all those things. Don't stress about all those things. Instead, seek first His kingdom. Here we have it again. And His righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. If you're looking for earthly treasure as your ultimate hope, 100% of the time, it will disappoint. It will become outdated. It won't fulfill. Instead, he says, seek first His kingdom, this kingdom of heaven, this thing, this place or community, if you will, that's worth selling everything you have to get your hands on. A place where God is the perfect leader, where people are cared for, where there's love between its members. Jesus says, don't worry about your stuff. Next slide, please, Carrie. Don't worry about your stuff. Seek the kingdom or the community first, and the other things are going to iron themselves out. Seek to become a part of that kingdom because that is a greater treasure than a chest of gold hidden in the Rockies. A greater treasure than a seaside mansion or a gadget or a car or an expensive piece of clothing. Let's jump back to this parable again. I want to reread it and revisit it. It's short enough. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. In his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and bought it. Sound familiar yet? As we look a little further in, I'd like to kind of pull out a couple more aspects that we see here. First is we have two very different people mentioned. I don't think this is by accident. We have one person who stumbles upon the treasure. He's not looking. He's doing his job. You know, like I said, he could be walking his dog. You never know. He's doing something unrelated, and he finds it. The second person is on a mission to find a pearl. The person is on a mission to find the thing that he finds. He's a professional. It must be noted that sometimes people's journey to find the kingdom of God look very different. Some people have this moment of clarity, and maybe like the person in the field, you stumble upon it and you hear the good news about Jesus, his death, his resurrection, his payment for our sins, and immediately you say, man, I am all in, I am trusting, and there's no looking back. Next slide. Others search and look and wind, and research, and question, and doubt, and go forward and say, yeah, I want this, and then slide back into this lifestyle again. And people go back and forth, and it's years, and it's this long time of, boy, I don't know, and I feel like a lot of faith journeys look a lot more like that than it does tripping over a box. Maybe you need to hear that because your journey has been slow and winding and frustrating. And you've been searching and you've been looking, but then you keep screwing up and then this happens and you get distracted and you're off track. I don't think these contrasts are by accident. Scholars point out that this is something that Jesus most likely intended for people to see, that there's different ways. Sometimes paths are different, but Jesus and his kingdom is always the ultimate prize and the ultimate treasure. One guy searched and searched until he found it. Who knows? He could have been searching his whole life, and that happens. Another guy found it almost by accident. Next slide, please. Next thing I'd like us to notice about these two parables is there is a cost involved. This is something sometimes we don't always like to talk about. But what's happening in this is both people see this treasure is worth more than everything that I have already. Worth more than my bank account, the whole deal. The gift of salvation is free. It's made by faith through grace so that no one can boast and none of us can earn our way to Christ. That's the truth of the scriptures. But at the same time, Jesus has words all over the scriptures that there's a cost to being in his kingdom. And perhaps that's because things that don't cost us anything, we don't really care about, right? If something costs us nothing, we don't. But we, if we invest a lot of money, we're going to care for that deeply. The kingdom of heaven is not something God gives us as an add-on or an accessory just to spice up our life a little bit, to give us a little boost. Never once does Jesus say or even imply that following him is this casual little perk, this little spruce up to make you look a little bit better for your college resume. It's never about that. Following Jesus is always, as he says, costly. There's an app out there, next slide please, called A Sprinkle of Jesus. Now, it's daily devotional content, and that's a good thing. We all need to hear God's word, and I am 100% on board for using whatever means, technology we have to get God's word to us. And we all could use that, but the name and that hand, I'm sorry, it's just weird. But the name kind of describes our state as Christians in the U.S. We kind of just want a little sprinkle of Jesus. We don't really want him to interfere with our lives and tell us how we should live. We kind of just give me a little, you know, a little gold dust and just throw it on me, make me glisten a little bit so I'm a little better. But being part of the kingdom is not about a sprinkle. It's more like Niagara Falls. Getting the kingdom of God is not about finding a few, you know, sentence or two to boost your day in the middle. It's about every part of your whole life. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, is something worth searching, next slide, the whole world. Following maps from Santa Fe to the Canadian border, climbing up hundreds of mountain peaks, studying poems and maps to get it, and then some. The kingdom of God is worth the search. There's a cost, but that cost will be worth every penny you could ever possibly spend and then some. It's worth selling off your house, your cars, your furniture, even that creepy little doll that your grandma gave you that you can't seem to part with. Many of us have gone to college, and some of you are about to head there this fall. I've invested a massive sum of money into educating my mind, and those of you who know me are like, well, that was a bad investment. Gaining knowledge and skills is important to be successful in the world. We are called, it's very biblical, we're called to work and to earn and to provide, and that's very important. But as we discuss worth and costs and seeking, let's not forget of the value of investing in the kingdom of heaven. Investing in becoming part of that. What are we investing to pursue the kingdom of heaven? How much of your time, money, and talent are going towards seeking that, towards pursuing that, towards being a part of that? Jesus shared two examples of people who, when they saw it, they knew the kingdom was worth more than a degree from Harvard or a PhD from Oxford or any knowledge or possession out there ever and then some. We're all wired, I believe, to be treasure hunters. We're wired to value things, to care for things. Last example, next slide, please, Carrie. There's a house, not this house, but a simple house, not big, well-kept, that I run by frequently. A few weeks ago, as I was running, I noticed most of the stuff was being moved out, and I thought to myself, maybe these people are moving out and someone else is buying it. A couple days later, I ran by again, no stuff nearby. All the trees were cut down. It was just everything was leveled around it. Now again, this wasn't a fancy house, but this is it was well cared for. You could tell somebody it was maintained. People, houses, if you own one, you know how much work it is. And we work and we maintain and we treasure it. So the next week I ran by and all the trees were cut down. And then just a couple days ago, I ran by again, and next slide, it looked about like this. The house, which was somebody's treasure, was now just a dirt hole in the ground. And if you drove by it today and you hadn't ever been by there before, you would never have known that a house stood there for 60, 70, 80, however many years. Moths and rust didn't really get that one, but an excavator made quick work of it. The question in that is, what are you treasuring? Are you wearing yourself out for that chest of gold hidden in the Rockies? Houses and cars and things are great things to maintain, but eventually every single one of them, 100% of the time, is going to end up something like this. And these things that we toil and we struggle for and we strive for and we reach for, they're good things, but they are never, ever intended to be the ultimate thing. Are you looking for a treasure that's going to end up dust? The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, is worth selling the entire contents of your house, your 401k, your checking, your savings, even that creepy little grandma doll. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When you find it, it will be worth selling everything you own to get your hands on it. It's like a pearl that when you find it, it's worth selling everything you have. I love what Jesus says about the first man. When the man found it, he buried it again. In his joy, he went and sold everything that he had. This was joy. The man found a life, a community, a kingdom that is worth far more than anything he could possibly own. And he was grateful to liquidate everything because this is worth everything. Let's pray. Father, challenge us in our pursuits. Challenge us in our passions. Many of us have good things. Help us to stop trying to make those the ultimate thing. Help us on our journey to see you like a treasure hidden in a field. It's worth everything and then some. In Jesus' name, amen.